They're called the sandwich generation, adults who are caring for their elderly parents while still responsible for their teens and college-age children.
Today on Real Family Talk, we will speak with two families who are living in the middle of two generations. Join us. Most adults say they're willing to care for their aging parents when such a time comes, but they don't really think it will actually become a reality. As such, when this responsibility lands on their lap, most are not prepared for it.
This reality becomes even more challenging when they find themselves in the middle of two generations in their home. We're talking about the sandwich generation, a term referring to multi-generational homes where individuals or couples take in one or both aging parents who cannot live alone any longer. At the same time, they have children, including college-age children, who are still dependent on them. As you can imagine, this dynamic can create a lot of stress in the home.
Joining us today are Dr. Zeno and Anita Charles-Marcel. Zeno is the Associate Director of Health Ministries for the General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and his wife, Anita, is a public health educator, home educator, and now primary caregiver to her 93-year-old dad. They have three adult sons. Also joining us today is Dawn Venn, Administrative Assistant for Family Ministries at the General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, a former elementary school teacher who returned from mission service in Southeast Asia, primarily due to her concern for her aging parents. Dawn and her husband, Doug, have two college-age children. Welcome to all of you. So let me begin with Zeno and Anita. Zeno and Anita, how did you make the decision to have your father live with you, or did it come as a surprise?
Well, before we got married, we had decided that we would make preparations should it be necessary for all of our parents to stay with us. And as it turns out, after we lost both of our moms, it became necessary over time for Anita's dad to have additional care. And it was a natural progression of things. We didn't have, it wasn't a surprise. But at the same time, it wasn't expected necessarily that it would go this way. What do you think, Sweetie?
Well, my dad lived in Florida, and he was very independent. He lived with a family there, good close family friends. But as time advanced, you know, his dementia became more of an issue, and we realized that that wasn't going to work anymore, and so we decided he needed to come and be with us.
Okay, so what has been the greatest challenge and the greatest blessing to have your dad with you now?
Challenge has been having to see him decline. He has had a longstanding neuropathy, so his walking and his balance have been a challenge for a while. And in our home, we have stairs. He has to go up and down, just six stairs at a time, but still, that is a challenge. But for us emotionally, to see him lose his faculties, this has been difficult for us.
Yeah, you know, we educated ourselves. I educated myself about dementia, and you know, as things advanced, I knew what to expect and I knew what was coming. But emotionally, when you're actually going through it, it just completely throws you. And so that has been a challenge. And at the same time, it's just been a blessing to have him in our home. And we have one of your youngest son is still living at home. And it's just been a blessing to see those two generations connect. They connect really well.
So this is the reality of life. at this stage, you know, challenge and blessing at once.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Don, your mom has been with you for a little over a year now. Tell us how that transition came about and how that's going.
Well, you know, we take one day at a time, and I am the only daughter. And so my three brothers unanimously voted that
I would be the one
to care for mom when the time came. But she was very independent and always would say, no, it's not time yet. I will let you know when it's time. And then an accident happened and we all knew it was time.
Now, I remember hearing you say that your mom was still driving.
Yes.
And how old was she? She was still driving and still pretty independent and living on her own before she came to live with you and before the accident.
Yes, almost 89 and driving, doing her own shopping, cooking, everything on her own. So it was quite a drastic change in her life and in ours. But she's taken it with grace, and we try to as well.
Now, we've heard a lot of commentary, or we've actually read research over the years that a lot of experts in elder care and geriatrics will suggest that elderly people should age in place. Of course, that is if they're independent and they can take care of themselves. So Zeno and Anita, was it difficult for you to get your dad to come and live with you?
With my father-in-law, that has not been difficult. And I think I'll let Anita talk about that. But with my dad, who is 99, that has been a very difficult thing. He stayed with us, and he stayed with my sisters, each having a turn. And that was the idea, that we were all going to have him for a while. But pretty soon, that didn't work out. And he's independent. He lives independently, and he really doesn't want to live with us, per se.
So that must pose a challenge as well, because then there's always a constant concern, perhaps, as to his well-being.
Yes. His autonomy we want to respect. His safety is something that we're concerned about. But, you know, we can't change him. We have to adjust to some of what he is willing to let us do.
Oh, my dad, on the other hand, is the total opposite. Ever since, you know, my mom passed away 9 years ago, I'm not living by myself. I need to live with someone. But he lived in Florida, and he loved the weather there, and he just wanted to be there. And so with this family that was like a family, you know, like close family, like a sister, he was very comfortable being there. But as time, you know, went on and we saw that he could not be in that situation anymore, it was a bit challenging to get him to move to Maryland, which, you know, he doesn't like the cold weather here, but we had to do it when the time was right.
Well, thank you for sharing your story. When we come back, we will have a little bit more conversation with both Zeno and Anita, and also with Dawn. Stay with us.
We are talking with Zeno, Anita, and Dawn about being a part of the Sandwich Generation. Dawn, one reason you returned from overseas was your concern for your aging parents. Now, that created some challenge for you as you came back. You shared with us prior to this interview that your father was actually sick first, and then your mom, and then trying to juggle all of that with raising your kids who were in high school at the time, now both are in college. So tell us some of the challenges that you've had in juggling the needs of both your children and your parents.
Well, I want to say that it wouldn't be possible without them, first of all, but yes, trying to give them the attention and the support they need while this new kind of emergency rises up in the family, as it were, you know, with my dad first, with congestive heart failure, and then my mom having an accident all within a couple of years. So it definitely took my focus away from everything happening at home, but they were very supportive through the whole process.
Well, what I also would like to hear you share is the fact that your dad was how old, and he was still practicing medicine?
Yes, he practiced, he was in internal medicine, and he practiced for 60 years. So he was 86, and they kept trying to make him retire, but he'd find some other way to be, you know, start a clinic here or something. So, yeah, he worked until he went into the hospital and then died a month later.
Wow, so he was definitely one of those who you had to respect his autonomy.
Yes.
Now, tell us about this transition of having your mom in your home and how your children have, you and your husband and your children have handled the situation.
Yes, they've been so supportive. And it's actually, like, and Anita also mentioned with their son, it's a beautiful thing to see their relationship, and it's such a gift. And for them, you know, right now education is a priority and finishing college. But the education they receive in our home now with being tested with their patients and putting grandma first and maybe changing their plans because grandma needs help, I think is something very valuable for them.
Yeah. You know, I want to ask Anita and Zeno about your son, because you have one adult son at home. And I believe he's doing graduate work now, virtually. How has that changed his perspective, having to also deal with the needs of having his aging grandfather in the home?
Well, you know, I have to say that we are truly blessed because our son, Austin, he is willing to put grandpa's needs before his own, even in regards to what he has to do for his classes and so on. And many times we have to say, no, it's okay. It's okay, you know, I'll take care of it. You go do what you need to do. But he has been very supportive, extremely supportive, and we're thankful for that.
It sounds to me like having grandpa at home has been a blessing for him. Because, in fact, it's polishing his own character and helping him to choose his grandfather first, making him more altruistic than he would have been if he didn't have that opportunity to be there with him.
Yes, this has been a polishing of those tendencies that he has had and that we raised him with, but this is an opportunity for him to actually practice it.
You know, one of you shared the fifth commandment from Exodus 20:12, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord God is giving you. And I think that's just such a beautiful testament, because when we think about that text so often, we really refer more to children honoring their parents. And what I'm hearing...
Young children.
That's right. Young children.
Because they're still children.
Yeah, we'll always be children. Yeah. We always say that to our kids. You'll always be our children. But what I'm hearing from all of you is that you're looking more at the blessing of this and that you're seeing this as an opportunity to continue this honoring.
Yeah, I see it also as a way to model. We're role playing because as we're honoring our parents, our time is going to come when we're going to be in that situation, and our kids, what they saw us model to them, they'll be able to do for us.
Yeah, it makes life dynamic, and really, life is cyclical. You know, what goes around comes around. right now is his turn. Not long from now, it might be your turn. Mm-hmm. And certainly the way we model this to our children is probably the best way to teach, you know, not because of what you say, but because of what you're doing. And this whole notion of honoring our parents is such a so central to the Christian ethic of love and respect and being kind and patient. You know, invariably, and we do a lot of work with marriage and with parenting younger children, But often we forget that when the Apostle Paul is speaking about love is patient and kind, that it also refers to our older parents. And now they're declining, and now we have the privilege and opportunity to demonstrate patience and kindness, which in fact is emblematic of real love.
Yeah, I love the whole notion of the modeling, guys. And have you had this dialogue? Have either of you had this dialogue with your children? Have you spoken to your children about what it might look like, or is that just like going too far into the future? What it might look like when you are aging, as Anita just mentioned. Don?
I think it's more by example right now, because it's hard to think of us in that position at this point. But I know it will come one day. And that's one of the things that we're finding is so important, is that we need to have those conversations with our family. You know, I needed to have this conversation with my mom and dad, but we really didn't. And so then we found ourselves in this very difficult, trying to figure things out, not really knowing or having a plan. So that's one thing I would say, to make sure and do have this conversation.
Yeah, and I think what you said earlier, too, about the fact that your brothers just unanimously decided that it would be you. And you know, and praise God, it seems like you guys have a good enough relationship that you were able to get to this place. But definitely planning is important. But we're going to talk more in the next segment. We're going to take a short break, and we will talk more about some specific tips that these guests have for you, Zeno and Anita and Don. Stay with us.
Zeno and Anita Charles Marcel and Don Venn have been sharing with us their experience of caring for their elderly parents and sharing with us lessons learned in their journey.
Adventist Home Health has a resource called the 10 Commandments of Caregiving. These reminders have been helpful for our guests today, so we want to share them with you. We'll start with the first one, agree, never argue. Don, tell us what that means for you and how that might be helpful to our viewers.
Yeah, it means that I have to keep my mouth shut.
Okay, all right, I like that. That was very brief. Okay, number two, redirect, never reason. Zeno and Anita.
Well, you know, sometimes it's difficult, but you have to be prepared. And so if you prepare ahead of time and you expect the unexpected, then it's easier to be able to find something to guide your loved one into, as opposed to having to restrict what they're doing.
Right. So are you saying that sometimes they want to do things that may not be good for them, that may have some adverse consequences?
Yes, it may be a safety issue, or they might want to put things down the toilet that shouldn't be going down the toilet. And you have to be able to say, well, let's try this instead.
Mm-hmm. So in some ways, it's almost like, in some instances, like parenting your parents.
Exactly.
There's been a role reversal. They're now in almost in the child role. But I think later on we have something about that, to not treat them like a child, right?
Exactly.
And I think you earlier said that, you know, you have to respect their autonomy. All right. What's the next one?
So let's go to the next one. And the next one is distract, never shame. How do you guys deal with this? Anybody? Dawn?
Well, I think we need to remember that they're mourning the loss of skills they once had, and to be sensitive to that and not shame them or say, you knew how to do this, why don't you do it now? We can't do that, because they're hurting and they're mourning the loss of those skills and confused.
Wow. That's powerful. What about reassure, never lecture? Zeno and Anita.
That's sometimes difficult, especially with my father-in-law, because he has a lot of fear of falling. He hasn't fallen, but he has a lot of fear. And to be able to reassure him, yes, Grandpa, you can do it, and we're right here with you, and we're willing to help. But sometimes he just he freezes up and he says, no, 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 and we have to respect that too.
And so, but how do you get him then to, I mean, if he has to like go up the stairs or come down, what would you suggest?
I'll give an example. Like multiple times throughout the day, he'll be like, do you think I can make it? Do you think I can make it? Yes, Daddy, you can make it. You think I will fall? No, no, you won't fall. You'll be okay. I'm here to help you. That's kind of just how we do it, over and over throughout the day.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's beautiful. So you're saying that being patient, having a soft voice, being tender, it sort of develops a trust, right? That they trust you.
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
Let's go to the next one. Reminisce, never say, don't you remember? What would you say about that?
I think that works for all of us now at any
age. Yes. anyway. Yes. But I think just listening to them as they reminisce, and if they don't get it right, it doesn't really matter. What matters is that you're having a conversation, you're sharing and validating their feelings.
Totally agree. Totally.
You know what? That is so important. And I think this is a lesson for all of us. You know, too often we argue about our memories, and memory is sometimes very specific to the person. Right? So what they remember, it's okay. I like what you said, Don. It doesn't matter.
Right. Let's go. And I'll just say that my kid's telling me now that, Mom, you told me that already.
That's right.
Well, that's the next one. You know, repeat. Never say, I told you that already. just say it again. You know, just say it again.
That's kind of a rule in our house as well. It's like, okay, if I don't remember, like,
Say it again.
It's not going to help me to remember by saying, I already told you that.
I already told you that, yes.
Yeah. All right.
Let's go to the next
number
one.
Number seven.
Say, do what you can, not you can't. Yes?
Yes.
And tell us how that plays out in your life.
Well, you want them to continue doing as much as they can for themselves as possible, right? So if you're saying, hey, you need to, you know, my mom transfers from her wheelchair, you know, and it looks a little scary sometimes, but we want her to be able to continue to be as independent as possible, but also safe. And so, you know, she said she can't write for the Christmas card. Okay, but Mom, can you put the stamps on the envelope for me?
I like that.
And she was so happy to do that and proud that she was a part of it, and her picture's on our Christmas card, and she's very pleased with how it.
Yeah. I like that. All right, number eight, ask, never command. Zeno and Anita, you want to respond to that real quickly?
Yes, quickly. It's a true. It's a truth. We ask, but sometimes we have to be a little bit more directive, not demanding, but directive.
Okay, sounds like parenting.
Yes.
The next one is encourage and praise, never condescend. Yes, Don?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And they said that earlier,
yes.
You know, so
mm-hmm.
I think that's beautiful. And the last one is reinforce, never force. I think these are beautiful commandments, and it sounds like you guys are actually obeying these commandments in your home. And we certainly hope that people are paying attention to these, because too often in this society, and especially right now during this pandemic, there has been a lot of elder abuse, people just mistreating the elderly. And I think if we follow these commandments, we would be in good stead.
So now there might be someone watching who is facing this situation right now. What is your best advice for them as they begin this chapter of caring for their parents? Zeno, Anita, Dawn?
It's never too early to start making plans. Talk to your loved ones, find out what the touch points would be, and make good plans.
I would say to remember to laugh along the way. Sometimes the situation can get so overwhelming that it becomes like a burden on you, but you have to just laugh and be able to find the joy in the journey.
Amen.
Well, let's remember what the Bible says in Exodus 20:12, just to reinforce. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. We encourage everyone to put this text into practice and receive the blessings of God.
That's all for today's Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll share more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. See you next time.